This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the mini-sode.
And this week, we are on mini-sode 22 with another current events episode.
Yeah, we're taking you through some current events that have happened this month that have, you know, caught our eye.
Yeah, my birth month.
Exactly.
And my mom's birth month.
Happy birthday, Morgan.
Happy end of Taurus season.
Right?
Do you want to kick us off?
I will kick us off.
Awesome.
So this first one, I took from two different articles because I've been following it all week, and yeah. It was just like a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, yeah. All of my articles have like two or three different sources. Mm-hmm. So like I didn't even worry about listing the like name and place.
Yeah. So the articles that I got are from the New York Daily News and by something called Where TV.
Oh, shit. You actually named them. Look at you fucking go.
Yeah, I just did that. So this story happened last week, and on Thursday, May 21st, there was an Amber Alert issued for a 9-year-old nonverbal autistic boy named Alejandro Ripley in Miami, Florida. And his mother, 47-year-old Patricia Ripley, told police that on Thursday at around 9 p.m., she was driving in her car with her son when she noticed a car following her. She told police that the car tried to sideswipe her, causing her to veer onto another road, and then the car blocked her in. She says that there were two black men in the car, and after her car was blocked in, the passenger got out and demanded drugs from her. When Patricia told the man she didn't have any drugs, he took her cell phone, a tablet, and kidnapped her son, Alejandro.
When Sarah texted me about this article, I literally texted her back and I was like, okay, fake story.
And I was just like, I don't know why, but I believed it because I was like, this is just a crazy story that it has to be true.
No, it's okay. The reason that I didn't believe it is because every time a mom says that two black men took her child, it always involves them pushing her off of the road and stealing her child. And that just like does not happen that frequently.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but as soon as you texted me, I was like, fake news. She did not do that. That's a lie. But she totally could have been truthful. I don't know.
And so like, I was just like, this poor boy, you know, like, I hope he's found. I hope that they just like stole his car and then like left him on the side of the road or something, you know.
Yeah.
But on the next day, the Amber Alert is canceled after Alejandro's body was found at 7:50 a.m. His body was pulled out of a canal where it was lying face down, and he was wearing a blue Captain America t-shirt and diapers. His body was found about 4 miles from where Patricia reported him being kidnapped near the, I'm going to butcher this, Muskogee Golf and Country Club. So now we cut to the next day.
Yeah.
Saturday, May 23rd. Police are becoming suspicious of Patricia after she gave conflicting stories about the kidnapping. And surveillance video came out that showed her waiting in her parked car near a Home Depot for more than 15 minutes before reporting the kidnapping. So she just like sat in her car before she called 911.
Interesting.
So after being drilled, Patricia confessed to killing her 9-year-old son, saying that he's going to be in a better place. And apparently, Patricia attempted to drown her son earlier that day in a different canal, but he was rescued by unnamed witnesses.
Holy crap.
So, like, I think, because they don't get specific, but I think that he didn't know how to swim.
Yeah.
Being autistic. And
yeah, nonverbal autistic. Yeah, like he's nine severe. And wearing diapers. Like, he needs his mother's help, probably. Yes. Yeah.
And I think that, like, she led him to the canal and, like, either pushed him in or something and then left.
Right.
So, like, didn't hold his head underwater or whatever, but he drowned.
Still.
And someone, like, saved him. And I have a feeling she was like, oh, my God, I lost my son. Thank you for saving him, kind of thing. But then an hour later, at about 8:30 p.m., went to a different canal, and no one was there to save him this time.
That's so horrible.
Yeah.
Like, whew. I knew it, though. Yep. I knew that did not fucking happen as soon as you sent that to me.
But, so she was charged and arrested. But Patricia's husband and Alejandro's father, Aldo Ripley, told reporters on Saturday, so I don't know if this was before or after she confessed.
Right.
We don't agree about whatever they said about my wife. It's not real. So he's like supporting his wife.
Right. Yeah.
And their lawyer said the family's not ready to speak about the allegations and we're going to leave that to another for another day. There is obviously a great deal of support for her. By all accounts, she has been an excellent mother and an excellent person.
Yeah.
And like, I've just been, I don't know why, I was just like,
yeah,
so fascinated with the case, or like, I wanted good
your
things,
attention, yeah,
to happen. And so I'm like gonna put my Google alerts out for it and see what happens in the future.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to see like if they go to trial, what actually comes out in trial, you know?
Exactly.
Because
and
that's just so horrible.
It is.
Wow, that's really sad.
It is.
Yeah, that's horrible. All right. Well,
give me another story.
Okay, so for my first case today, we are going to Omaha.
You got this.
Omaha, Nebraska, where we are covering a case of a man who murdered a local sex offender and is being held as a local hero, basically, for doing so.
Fun fact, that's where my dad was born.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a fun fact. and the articles that I used for today are both local. They are the Omaha World Herald and Fox 42. And I don't know the exact date that the World Herald received this email because I can't find it readily available. But I believe it was on like Sunday, May 15th or Monday, May 16th.
Okay.
So an email was sent to the World Herald and the other local news media outlets, much like the Zodiac Killer. And in this email, there were a lot of claims made, but the claim was that a man had been shot after learning that he was a registered sex offender.
Okay.
And the person said that they were looking for like local apartments to move into in the neighborhood. And when they were like researching the local neighborhood, they discovered that the sex offender lived in these like local apartments. And James Fairbanks, 43 years old, was arrested on Tuesday, May 17th for criminal homicide. And he is charged with fatally shooting Matteo Condolucci inside his home. So police were able to connect the email to James despite his attempts to hide his identity. His email address was like stop predators and like weird shit like that. And according to Fairbanks's ex-wife, Kelly, she said that he had dedicated his life to helping kids who are vulnerable and had special needs. And he worked with kids his whole career in schools, correctional facilities, and group homes. And she thinks that he likely felt an obligation to act after spending years working with, like, abused children.
So was it, you might tell me in the future.
Yeah.
But was it said that the guy's actual offense was with children or?
It was. Okay. Yes. His offenses were with children. It happened in like 94.
Okay.
And he had his most recent check-in with the local authorities on March like 2nd, 2020.
Okay.
So he had like recently done his check-ins and he was like doing them. But he was still like a sex offender for children.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And she also told police that he had contacted her on Monday telling her what he had did, saying that he was prepared to turn himself in and he like knew the consequences and he had already sent the email to the police and the news stations. And he asked her to tell the kids that he loved them and they had two children together who were ages 12 and 17. So it is said that Fairbanks had no violent history, so this was kind of weird to everyone. But his ex-wife, who we've been talking about, did apply for protection orders against him in 2016 and 2018 while they were going through a divorce because he was sending her like threatening text messages and coming to her house.
Oh, shit.
And obviously, like, this case is going to be one of those where it's very divided because people are like, some people think that you should be able to do this where you can kill sex offenders and things like that. But even the own man who was murdered, his daughter, Condalucci, her name is Amanda Hendry, and she said that she believes her father's killer should be given probation.
Oh, wow.
She said, "Murdering my dad was a horrible thing, but children are much safer now. Any other child he could have hurt is much safer."
That's crazy.
Yeah. So she like spoke out to the media saying this and like says that she wants him to get probation. And other individuals on social media, you guys have seen the posts before under a sex offender's post. They are like calling Fairbanks a hero and saying that he should be given a medal instead of being arrested. And others say that they plan to give him money for his jail commissary or to even help hire him a nice attorney to get him off. And local chief deputy Douglas County. Sorry, this is the longest title ever. Local chief deputy Douglas County attorney Brenda Beadle says it's a really dangerous thing when people start taking law enforcement into their own hands. That's why we have a justice system.
Yeah.
So back to what Fairbanks did. So he said that he killed the man on Thursday, 2 days before police found his body. He'd shot him inside his apartment. And he said that he was driving by when he saw Condalucci was standing in his driveway pretending to wash his truck. There was like no soap or water, just a rag. And he was watching a group of children playing in the street.
Oh.
So Fairbanks stayed and watched him for a few minutes, saying that it made him feel sick to his stomach and it like triggered him into a rage, basically. And eventually the children left. So the man like went back inside. So, yeah, basically everyone in the local area wants this guy to be freed. And the police are like, well, he did technically murder someone, yeah. So we do have to go through the motions there.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, I get it. Obviously, we don't want sex offenders in our neighborhood or our world or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, if he's released and celebrated for it, he's just going to go out and do it again.
Right. Like, it kind of feels like like he's going to become the Punisher or something, right? But, like, for sex offenders. Yeah, it's definitely like sex offenders are bad, you know, like no one likes them, no one thinks that nice things should happen for them, but it is like taking things into your own hands is not how anything should work, because then everybody would just kill anybody who wronged them. Don't kill people.
That's the lesson here.
That's the lesson. Every episode, that should be the lesson, is don't kill people.
That'll be our next t-shirt.
Our next, as if we've ever created a t-shirt.
I just have ideas in my mind and they're just clicking. Like, there's a list.
All right, let's get into your next episode.
My next story.
Episode.
Okay, so for my next case, we're going celebrities.
Cool. Fun.
And I'm gonna mispronounce this name and I'm sorry. But the title of the article I got is Lori Loughlin and Moise. Fuck, I already messed it up. I don't know,
just say it.
Gianulli.
Yeah, just me.
Lori,
god damn it.
Lori Loughlin and her husband.
Yes, okay.
Pled guilty in college admission scam.
Okay.
And this is an article by CNN from May 22nd. So Loughlin, 55, and her husband, Gianulli, 56, had been accused of paying $500,000 to get their two daughters into the University of Southern California as fake crew team members.
Right.
They allegedly paid the $500,000 as a part of a scheme with Rick Singer, who, like, was the scam's mastermind, and a University of Southern California athletics official to get their daughters into the university as posing as, like, fake recruits.
Yeah.
So as part of the scheme, Giannulli emailed Singer pictures of his daughters posing on indoor rowing machines, which were then used to create athletic profiles. And Giannulli wrote in an email to his accountant, "Good news, my daughter is in USC. Bad news is I had to work the system."
Jesus. Yeah. Just leaving a trail behind.
After Singer informed the two via email in November of 2017 that their youngest daughter was accepted to USC as an athletic recruit, Laughlin replied, "This is wonderful news." He then said, "Please continue to keep this hush-hush until March." And she replied, "Yes, of course." So Laughlin and Giannulli are the 23rd and 24th parents to plead guilty in this case.
Dang.
Actress Felicity Huffman pleaded guilty to conspiracy last year for paying $15,000 to the scam's mastermind, Singer, as part of a scheme to cheat on the SATs and boost her daughter's test scores.
So, and, I'm sorry. Yeah. Does this guy work for the school?
Yes.
Is he also on trial?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, I was like, how is he not?
Yeah, he's,
okay,
yeah,
he's also in trouble, right?
Yes.
Okay, very cool.
And Felicity Huffman served 11 days in prison for this.
Wow, what a hero.
Yeah. And then another guy, Peter Damaris of Pacific Palisades, California, was the 54th person charged in the scandal. And he will plead guilty to using fraud and bribery to facilitate his son's acceptance to Georgetown University.
Nice.
The couple, Laughlin and Giannulli,
yeah,
had moved to dismiss the charges as recently as 2 weeks ago and plead not guilty. And they've been pleading not guilty for more than a year.
Wow.
But a close source to them told CNN this week that they just wanted to finally put it behind them and just fucking deal with it. So, on Friday, they pled guilty in a hearing via teleconference before U.S. District Judge Nathaniel Gordon. When they were asked if they understood their pleas, they didn't really show any emotion, and their answers were brief, saying, "Yes, Your Honor, no, Your Honor," no outbursts or anything crazy yeah. like that. So, Laughlin pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit wire and mail fraud. And Giannulli pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit wire and mail fraud and honest services while wire and mail fraud.
Okay.
Under the agreement, Laughlin will be sentenced to 2 months in prison, have to pay a $150,000 fine, have 2 years of supervised release and 100 hours of community service. And Giannulli will be sentenced to 5 months in prison, pay $250,000 fine, 2 years of supervised release, and 250 hours of community service, because he was the one that actually sent the pictures and everything.
Right. Dang.
Yeah. But if they had gone to trial and been convicted, they would have faced up to 20 years in prison for the conspiracy charges.
Dang. Yeah. That's probably why they took the plea.
Oh, yeah. So sentencing for it and when they will actually go to jail is set for August 21st. Because of all the coronavirus, they might delay it until right. it's all over, this and that.
Okay.
But Giannulli's attorney, William Trock, had requested an earlier sentencing date, noting at one point that the defendant sought finality in this process and just wanted to be done with it. And
yeah.
They're like, "We've been in the news way too much. Let's just get it over with.
Yeah.
And obviously the daughters don't attend the school anymore.
Yeah. Dang. That's crazy.
I know.
Neither of them even wanted to attend that school, really. Like, they both had, I'm pretty sure, I don't think both of them, maybe only one of them, but one of them for sure just had like a YouTube channel that was very successful yeah. and like were totally fine doing that. Their parents just wanted them to go to college.
And it's like, I don't understand why, because their parents obviously had enough money to like pay for them to get to school if yeah. they paid $500,000 for them to fake getting into school, essentially.
The grades probably just weren't there. USC is a really good school.
It's just like, If you have celebrity parents, I feel like they could have paid their way
into any school,
you know?
Really.
Like, build a fucking library or something.
Yeah, exactly. It could be done. It happens all the time without celebrity parents, too, with parents that are just rich and have, like, a good last name.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, every time I see her on the news, I'm like, Aunt Becky.
Yeah.
You girl.
All right, y'all. I am here to cover the story of the Highland County, Ohio, missing teen, Madison Bell.
And I feel like this story is kind of crazy, isn't it?
It's a little crazy, okay. Yeah. We don't have all of the answers, just like we don't have all of the answers with your developing story, because it's a developing story.
Yeah, it's
that's
brand
the fun
new.
Thing about current events, you know? So this story began last week around May 17th. When Madison Bell's car was found in the Good Shepherd Church parking lot with the windows rolled down, keys still in the ignition, and her cell phone in the front seat.
Okay.
She was last seen leaving her home on Sunday to go to a tanning appointment at the Country Corner Market, but never made it to her appointment. A search pretty much immediately began, despite her being 18, because of the unusual circumstances of her disappearance that led, like, immediately looked like foul play.
Yeah, because if you're going to run away, you don't leave your car just
yeah.
with the keys in the ignition or something.
Yeah, you would take that stuff with you. So police deployed, like, search canines and search technology trying to track her down. And there is, like, a company called Rescue 101, and their volunteers came down from Columbus and even West Virginia to help search for the girl because it was all over the news. Again, like we talked about, she is a pretty white girl, so, like, that's why her story got so much coverage.
Yeah, and I saw, like, a bunch of, like, other podcasts and stuff posting on their Instagram, like, her missing person flyer
yeah.
and stuff, so, like, a lot of people knew about it.
Yeah, and... So on Tuesday after, because I believe the 17th was Sunday?
The 17th was Sunday.
Sunday. Okay, yeah. So on Tuesday, a couple days later, her boyfriend, Cody Mann, whom she had been dating for 5 years, she's 18 wow. years old.
Okay.
Spoke to the press saying, "She's the most loving girl I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I can't even explain it. I just want her to come home." And at this point, no one had seen or heard anything from Maddie still.
Yeah.
So police let the public know that they were searching for a white car that may have California tags in regards to the disappearance, but they didn't have much to go on. And by May 20th, police were desperate to make sure this girl was alive. So they brought on the FBI and Texas Equisearch. And the Texas Equisearch used drones and other high-tech equipment to aid in the search.
Oh, wow.
And they're really cool. If you go on their website, they have, like, a list of all of the people who are, like, currently missing in the Texas area that, like, have been reported to them. And they will, like, have their information, and they also go out and help. And it's, like, 100% volunteers as well.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, so this happened in Ohio, and they came in to help as well.
That technology will get us places.
Yeah. So, on May 23rd, Madison Bell was found safe. The ending you want to the story, always.
Exactly.
So, it is being reported that she left voluntarily and wanted to start a new life. That's all that's being told to the public at this moment.
Just randomly.
Yeah. At this time, police are not releasing the details of how she was located or any further information of why she would want to start a new life. The family also released a statement after she was found stating, "We ask that the public and media respect our privacy during this difficult time while we are emotionally raw. We are just relieved to know Maddie is alive and not in physical danger." And she, it's like a very long thing, so yeah. I don't want to read all of it. But she also went on to thank all of the volunteers that helped in the search for their daughter and, like, talked about a bunch of different stuff like that. Andrew Surratt, who is the chief of Rescue 101, which is, like, the first volunteer group that started helping, said, "Given the outcome of this, our resources were not wasted. Until this morning, when I got the phone call, she could have still been abducted. He also said that lessons could be learned from this experience and says, if that's your intention to start over, let someone know.
Yeah, like...
like, even if you're wanting to get away from your boyfriend or your parents, you tell, like, a friend. Or you leave a note that your parents will find after you're safely gone. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or you call them from a payphone.
Yeah, like, you let them know later. You don't leave all of your windows rolled down. But honestly, to me, it kind of sounds like she might have had, like, a bipolar episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's diagnosed or undiagnosed, but it sounds like a mania episode where she like got this idea in her head that she was going to start a new life and just went and did it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do in like extreme cases of mania. So that's what it kind of sounds like to me, or like some type of mental illness, like mm-hmm. made her just leave. But I do respect her privacy, like to not know why she did it and everything. But I want to know so bad.
I know. And it's like, obviously, this is the outcome that we all wanted. She's
yeah,
alive.
We
She's
wanted
safe.
Her to be safe.
But it's like, is there going to be any sort of repercussions for her? Like for just for wasting.
I actually
know,
have
the time.
Kind of an answer about that.
Okay.
Because they said that the resources were not wasted.
Mm-hmm.
They said that she will legally, like, not be considered a runaway, which is a legal offense to be a runaway, because she's an adult, so mm-hmm. she can make her own decisions to leave. Really, her only offense is not contacting anyone. At this time, there isn't any effort known to the public that they're going to charge her with anything
mm-hmm.
That could be behind the scenes, like, why she left and everything that we just don't know yet.
Yeah,
but yeah,
like, there's that person who said that it's not wasted, but they're also volunteer based, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And like the police were also looking
right.
and all this stuff. So I'm just wondering if later down the road she may have to pay a fine or
she
something.
She could, yeah. But
would make up for that.
I thought it was kind of interesting because we had recently talked about that they like introduced that law that they thought would be a... like because of Kaylee Anthony,
oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
that would be a waste of resources. And like, it's kind of a double-edged sword because like,
is, yeah.
should they have looked for her? Yes. But like, did she waste resources? Yes. So it's a weird one, but I liked it because of that reason. Cause we had just talked about that recently.
Yeah. And I mean, there are a lot of people talking about that case
yeah.
and everything.
But another thing is that the family is also working on returning all of the money that various people had donated and like the organizations who donated mm-hmm. during the search.
That's good.
And the family has also stated if any of the money cannot be returned for some reason, that all of that money will be donated to other missing person cases in Ohio to help like go towards their case.
That's
so,
good.
Yeah, at least... something like they are taking responsibility for it. They just
yeah.
don't want to deal with it publicly, which they shouldn't have to. It's really
yeah.
a family issue. But I just thought it was interesting.
It is. It definitely is.
Yeah. All right. You have one last case to give us, right?
I do. I wanted to give us a little bit more of a lighthearted case.
Right,
to end
right.
Because all these are kind of sad.
Yeah, they are. Crime is sad sometimes, you know, most of the time.
Crime is sad, yeah, most of the time. So, this isn't a Florida man story. This is a California man story.
Nice. People be crazy everywhere.
Oh, right? And then this is from a Newsweek article. But what happened?
Yeah.
Gabriel Moreno, 39-year-old man, was driving north on Highway 99 on Tuesday afternoon when he pulled alongside a Cherokee Freight Lines truck like a semi-truck that was hauling red wine. The man caught the truck driver's attention by kind of like signaling for him.
Yeah.
Saying that something was wrong with the vehicle. So the truck driver pulled over to the side of the highway and Moreno pulled his car over in front of it.
Yeah.
When Moreno got out of the car, first off, he's only in his underwear. And he runs to the back of the trailer. And the truck driver, like, thought this was weird as fuck.
Yeah.
So he just pulled back onto the highway and started driving. Little did he know, Moreno had jumped on the trailer, climbed underneath the tank, and unscrewed a valve that released the red wine that was in the tank and just started guzzling it while he's driving 80 miles an hour down the fucking road.
So he's just like clinging on, letting the wine flow. That's honestly amazing.
And it's just, it's going everywhere.
That's so absurd. He can't
guzzle it all down that
quick. Oh my goodness.
Keep in mind, this all caught on dash cam, so you can watch it if you look it up.
That's fantastic.
So the driver of the truck wasn't able to see him, but noticed that his dashboard gauge showed that the truck was losing weight.
Right.
So he pulled over and found Moreno drinking the wine. He says he was lying on the ground and doing snow angels, basically, as the wine was pouring down on him.
Wow. 10 out of 10, honestly.
So the truck lost about 1,000 gallons of wine during the incident, and Moreno attempted to flee when he was caught by the truck driver, but highway patrol officers caught up to him, and he was cooperative and was arrested.
Yeah.
So he was booked into jail for felony vandalism and a misdemeanor for driving on a suspended license.
Okay.
And you think, this is the end of it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the end of it, but I just learned that there's more.
Amazing.
So, Moreno was released from custody just a couple days later.
Yeah.
Because of the state's no bail order due to coronavirus. But, according to the county sheriff department, he was arrested again moments later.
Nice.
Officers with the Serres Police Department were trying to detain Moreno, who had allegedly tried to steal a truck that belonged to a landscaping company, like, right after being released, but an employee intervened and alerted authorities. So the sheriff's department said this: Moreno was distressed by the early release and was unhappy he didn't get a sandwich as part of the standard meal at the public safety center. As a way of getting a return visit to the jail where he hoped to finally enjoy his sandwich, Moreno attempted to steal a company truck belonging to a landscaping crew.
Nice.
So he went back to jail on charges of felony auto theft and got his sandwich.
Jesus Christ.
I thought that was so funny.
That's so absurd.
Just, I didn't get my sandwich, so I want to go back to jail.
Yeah. That's absurd. Also, probably mental illness, like most of these crimes.
Yeah, mental illness or drugs or something. And being
but
drunk
that's
on 1,000 gallons of wine.
Yeah. I feel like he had like a little tummy afterwards, you know, a little bloated tummy just full of wine. That's fantastic. Oh my goodness. All right, guys. Well, that's been our current events this month, the month of May.
And obviously there are 1,000 more.
Yeah, we cover five.
Yeah. And there are some bigger ones that are more controversial that we either decided to stay away from or we want to cover larger in the future.
Yeah.
So these
some
are the
cases
ones caught our eyes.
You want to do a main episode on, and we're saving them for it.
Yep.
Yep. But make sure that you guys check us out on all of our social media. You can reach us at Crime Binge or Crime Binge Podcast if that first one doesn't help you find anything, and leave us some reviews, you know.
Yes, please. Rate and review on Apple. And yes, I learned you can do it on Stitcher too.
Oh, very fun. Yes, if you are a Stitcher listener, which we do have, make sure you leave us a review.
Exactly.
All right, guys, we will see you in the main episode this week, and
keep on binging.
Bye.
See ya.